This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to ENN on the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. My name is Peter Rosenberg, and it's time. ENN tonight is sponsored by our dearest of friends, the All-American Ford Auto Group. Shop the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. All-American Ford has the largest selection and best prices with locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, all in New Jersey. Start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Then you move on, is what you do, and you say good evening to Don.
I like the souvenir.
Wow. Why did you do that? A blast from the past.
Yeah, why not?
I like to take the ticket, and I like to put it in a book. There's no stub!
I have a trivia question to start off ENN. Would you like that?
It's
a different way to start it off, and I'll give you, I will buy your dinner tonight, whatever you want to buy, if you can answer this question. On this date, 1985, Peter, Mike Tyson fought his first professional fight. Name the opponent, you got a free dinner tonight.
Hey, listen to my Mike Tyson podcast.
He's a very scared man. Thank you for being such a gentleman.
Sam Scaff.
No, it's Jimmy Scaff.
No, is it really?
Hector Mercedes.
Hector Mercedes. I've seen that knockout many
First
times.
First round knockout.
Yeah, well, a lot of them went that way.
You have to pay for dinner.
Hector Mercedes. He's in the list of jobbers that Mike Tyson was, the Barry Horowitzes of boxing that Mike Tyson was laying out. You know what's so funny?
What's that?
Is that right now, we just talked about technology.
Mm-hmm.
In just as recently as 2003, I used to regularly sit around watching VHS tapes of all of Tyson's fights.
And now you can just click a button, it's there.
I bought them on eBay. Someone sold the entire collection on VHS, like they had dubbed them all together. And the tapes were pretty crappy. They were just like, you know how VHSs go from one thing to the next. It gets all fuzzy and the next thing comes on. And me and my best friend Ben would watch just Tyson's knockouts one after another. Now you just go on YouTube, pick whichever one you want, watch the entire fight. Everything's different.
How many consecutive knockouts / TKOs did he have to start his career?
Before a decision. Well, yeah. He was 37-0 before Buster Douglas. No, I'm sorry. TKOs or KOs before a stoppage, you're saying. So before, who was the first person who went the distance
right.
with Tyson is essentially the question.
That's right.
And that means it was someone...
I want to thank you for treating me with respect. People don't do that. And I could see in your eyes you treated me with respect.
What a great moment.
I don't know, 13?
19.
19. Who was the first one?
James Tillis.
What a random.
May 3rd, 1986.
But by the way, Tillis being the one that sends him to a decision is so random.
Didn't Tillis have some kind of nickname? James?
Buster Tillis.
No. All right, go on. Do we in it?
No.
Now you're just fascinated by Tyson? You're just looking at Tyson stuff?
His nicknames were Quick and the Fighting
Quick
Cowboy.
Tillis. That's it. Quick Tillis.
Yeah, he wasn't a nobody, right? He wasn't a nobody.
And
no.
then he had back-to-back where it went the distance because then he had Mitch Blood Green.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went back to knocking everybody out again.
Yeah, then he went back on a streak.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven straight. Before James Smith took him the distance.
That's Bone Crusher. If you think of a good nickname, that's James Bone Crusher Smith.
Now, we do have a little movement on the Aaron Judge story. Okay. Brian Hoke tweets out that they spoke to Judge. Judge said he believes that 2 weeks will get him back into the batter's box since doctors told him his healing is, quote, in the middle part of the process. He's optimistic about avoiding surgery, and he has been told that playing on opening day is not a possibility.
Not a possibility. Let's hear from Aaron Boone. Here he is talking about Aaron Judge.
So he has a stress fracture of the first right rib. Obviously a lot of tests to get. It's a tough diagnosis to to find. So that's what we're dealing with. It does, you know, it's probably an injury that dates back to September when he dove, we think. You know, signs are that it shows signs of healing. So we're going to give it the next couple of weeks, and then we'll retest to show how much healing is going on with that rib.
So there you have it. Aaron Judge with the rib issue will be out for a while. We don't know exactly what the timetable will be, and we all believe that it happened. Him coming in on a ball in right field, he dove forward, landed awkwardly sort of on his right side, and got up wincing last September.
Would you like to hear that?
Yeah. Do you have the call?
Oh, yeah.
Who were you on the call?
I don't know. We'll see. Here it is. July 18th of 2019.
A good broadcaster would notice that something happened. Let's see.
Fly ball, shallow right, coming on as Judge dives, and he can't make the play. It's a base hit for Pujols.
Watch his head and neck. This is where it just jars your whole body. Coming in, and that's what you feel the next day.
See, that's what a great broadcast team does.
You lay out and let
the expert say it. I might have made a dive for a slice of pizza, last one on the box. Never. Paul O'Neill dive right there.
Now, Paul totally missed exactly where the injury was, but it happens. He said head and neck. It was more like chest and ribs, but it's okay. Either way, he noticed something awkward happened.
Yes.
It's hard to see exactly what it was, but you do see it when he gets up. He really was uncomfortable.
So let's be positive here, okay? Because that's what we're about. Mm-hmm. So let's say Aaron is right. 2 weeks, it's going to be completely out of his system. So 2 weeks from now is March 20th. So the Yankees would have, there'd be 6 days away from opening day. So he's going to start the season on the IL. He has said that he needs 30 at-bats to get ready. So if you get 5 at-bats a day, that would be 6 days. I think he's underselling. I think he's going to need more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if everything he's saying goes the way it's supposed to, he's back for the home opener. Maybe. But I don't think he plays on that first road trip, 3 in Baltimore, 3 in Tampa Bay.
Not the end of the world. I mean, that's a big series against Tampa. I guess every series head-to-head with Tampa is going to be big. They're your closest rival as far as the division's
but
concerned.
But you can't rush back for that.
But, you know, they started against Baltimore last year, lost 2 out of 3, and still won 103 games. Mm-hmm. So let's not get too kooky. Make him miss the first 20 games, and the Yankees can go, you know, 10-10 in those first 20 games and still be okay.
It'd be just fine. By the way, you guys see that South by Southwest was canceled?
Yep.
No.
Yeah. I'm going to say this for about the 33rd time this week.
What's that?
Please.
In the great words of Joe Girardi, it's not what you want.
Not what you want.
Canceling major festivals at this juncture is just simply not what you want.
So I told the story yesterday. The kids and Jody were going to go down to Tampa this week, and I was going to go down after the show. And then I start, you know, working next Monday in Tampa. And we were just going to hang out. I was going to take them to the ball game. I had them set up with field passes, mm-hmm. which is going to – I mean, Charlie was so looking forward to it. And we were going to do, swimming all day tomorrow in the pool. And we had to tell them that, you know, we're trying to protect them. That's our job. And we, you know, a couple of doctors said, it's not worth it. When I got home, I mean, the tears, I mean, just the anguish on his face because he wanted to go so badly. It broke my heart.
What did he say?
Why can't we go? Why can't you get a private jet?
Wow, he already knows how rich you are.
And I said, because I'm not rich. And you know what he said? I saw on your desk a $100 bill. You're rich. I said, oh, you so are so unaware.
Well, that
you know Callie knows what you have because she's known to steal it.
Yes, he has stolen before.
It is impressive. It is impressive that you just had a $100 bill laying on your desk.
Well, I keep my money on my desk in my office.
Wow, just hundos just laying there? Just sitting there?
It could be like 3 fives and a $100 bill. It's not like you know.
Okay. I'll get out of your desk.
You're Warren Buffett.
Well, that's sad. But a lot of things are going to be canceled.
Oh, it broke my heart. It really did break my heart.
You think we'll get to a point where an NBA game gets played in an empty arena?
If it continues to, if the amount of people that have the virus, you know, when they get the test out there, I think it could.
I thought of something yesterday. Instead of trying to, like, shut down what everyone in the world is doing, We now know that this illness really affects the elderly and those with previous respiratory systems or compromised immune systems.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should be focused more on protecting that population from everyone else. I you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the three of us could get it, God forbid, but we'd be okay. The question would be, the issue would be, we don't want to then spread it to someone who's elderly or compromised.
Yeah, but it's not as easy to say, oh, I have it. You don't know. Sometimes you don't know you have it.
But that's why you have to protect those who are compromised.
And Jody brought up a great point to me today. She said, you know, a lot of people are being home quarantined. You know, stay within the confines. Well, they're going to order food. Somebody's going to deliver the food. You're going to pass them money that you're touching?
Well, you better
not
do
boy in the plastic bubble.
You better do seamless and have them leave at the door.
The other thing,
yeah, but
too,
you still have to pay them. I guess you'd have to.
No, seamless, you don't have to touch anyone.
All right.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is money.
Yeah, right? Money's filthy.
And you love the touch of the money.
Oh, the smell of it, too, especially in Canada. It smells like maple syrup.
I love to touch money.
So if you weren't listening to the radio last night.
Why wouldn't you?
There was a historic moment involving the New York Rangers. Let's hear what it sounded like.
Panarin up the middle to Vanacek. Here he comes. Moving in. He deeks. He scores. The sixth of the game. Tying a Ranger record. Rangers win 6-5.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
And then unbelievably, it was such a huge moment there. Mika Zibanejad, as I call him, with the winner. 6-5. Five goals to beat the Capitals in overtime. Pick up points on the Islanders. The moment was so big.
Mm-hmm.
They immediately turned around and announced a 30 for 30 on
no
ESPN.
Way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
in production.
I have the trailer.
Okay.
As the calendar flipped to March, the dream was on life support.
Heartbreak loss for the Rangers. Needed the win, but didn't get it.
The presumptive captain was on the shelf for the rest of the regular season, and the brilliant rookie goaltender was out after a car accident.
Injured ribs for Shestorkin. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Buchnevich is okay.
An unlikely run at a playoff spot had suddenly stalled. The bright colors of hope faded to black and white. But on a Thursday night in New York City, facing the Capitals and the great Ovechkin.
Rangers look to end a three-game losing streak. Stemmer, the task at hand tonight is try and beat the champs from two seasons ago, the Washington Caps.
Mika Zibanejad walked into Madison Square Garden, about to become part of forever.
Panarin up the middle to Zibanejad. Here he comes, moving in. He deeks, he scores, the sixth of the game, tying a Ranger record.
Putting on a show that would jumpstart the upstart Rangers back into the playoff picture.
It's definitely a special night. It's for sure a night I'll remember for the rest of my life.
A win that would propel the Broadway Blues to a greatness and make their 2020 vision quite clear. Hoisting Lord Stanley's cup.
Did you understand the turn of the phrase, made their 2020 vision more clear?
Unbelievable writing.
Yeah.
Maybe we should start a business.
I think it would work.
That was beautiful. Don, you got a feature in there. Kenny got a feature in there.
Great job by everyone.
RJ really producing a great job. Michael with the great writing.
Unbelievable.
Produced well, written well, spoken well.
And,
terrific.
And you know,
I think you could be the new Morgan Freeman.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mika played a pretty good game, too. So he deserves a little credit.
I wish he'd shown a little more oomph on the interview. He's very laid back.
I mean, he was not going to show off. We had a great chat. You can listen to the podcast with Mika Zibanejad that we had earlier, but
so you're sticking with this then?
I'm going with it.
All right.
Because it has to be. You said his dad's Iranian, right?
Yes.
So that's how you say his name. Zibanejad.
You don't know
that. Why did you ask him?
I forgot. Somehow, because of the Rangers and the Yankees, you know who benefited from the Rangers and the Yankees today?
Yeah. Quinnen Williams.
Quinnen Williams has made it 3 hours and 17 minutes without a mention on the Michael
and
K.
Boy,
show.
Boy, does he deserve a mention. You know who I'm happy for? I'm happy Carl's dead on Curb because this would have killed him.
Another moment for Jets fans to just be angry.
When can we talk about that episode without it being a
spoiler? I think now.
Great.
5 days.
But
they kind of just made up an injury, though.
That
like Le'Veon Bell being out for the year.
By the way, that worried me, actually. I didn't love
like,
that.
Like, did we miss something?
Did it cross your mind? Is that I was just like, oh, man, if Le'Veon gets hurt, it's...
Oh, that's going to be repurposed
art imitating life.
About.
Yeah. No, it'd be life imitating art.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, there's plenty of things that actually happened. Why didn't he go with the mono?
Because
we don't know exactly when in the calendar year it is.
No, I think they've indicated it's not during football season. They've indicated it in some way.
Have they?
Yeah. But I don't know that it matters. I hear what you're saying. I just worry. The second he said Le'Veon
Bell's
injured.
But why make up an injury? If you're a Jet fan or a sports fan, you're like,
it's kind of some bad juju.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Because there's still plenty of things that happen.
Can you ask Larry, Michael? Can you ask?
About the thing?
If he was concerned at all about using a Le'Veon Bell injury that hasn't happened, because what if now Le'Veon gets hurt?
But I'm curious, too, because I've watched every episode. I have no idea when.
You're not paying attention to the details. I forget something. Oh, I know how. The first episode. It was all about New Year's. Happy New Year. The first episode started, and it was January. And everyone was like, oh, it's already been two weeks. So it was based on where we are now. It was mid-January.
When I had heard a rumor that somebody was going to die in the show, and I thought they were going to, like, bring us up to snuff on Funkhauser.
No. So far, the only...
But it will be addressed, I was told.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
But is it being addressed? He didn't mention how it was addressed, so is that just by having Vince Vaughn as his brother?
No, because they acknowledged was alive in Japan.
Yeah, he was in Japan.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, then maybe that's it, though. Maybe that was the acknowledgement. He moved to Japan.
No, he was visiting.
They will have an episode where they'll acknowledge he's gone.
Funkhouse was great.
Anyways, Quinnen Williams went to LaGuardia to go back to Alabama and apparently forgot that he had his handgun in his bag.
I always forget when I have a loaded weapon on my
person. It loaded?
Well, it's considered loaded because he had ammunition.
Let me play this Rich Domini audio. It'll make everything make sense.
They just got this from police a short time ago, and this is a key piece in this entire story. Originally, the Port Authority police said that he was also in possession of ammunition, not in the gun, but on his person. They have now issued a clarification saying that he was not in possession of any ammo, which is a really
huge.
Big.
That's huge.
It's really big. That's a really big. There's a big difference. So
3 years
I'm no lawyer, and I don't know how this would be adjudicated, but I know there was a case about 7 years ago, a player from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was stopped at LaGuardia in Daquan Bowers, I think, and was very, very similar charges. It ended up getting reduced, no jail time. So I'm not saying that's going to happen with Quinnen because this is really early in the process, but I just wanted to make clear that he was not carrying ammunition. He was carrying a firearm, which was a Glock 19, which was not registered in New York State.
Why? Why? How could you be so dumb?
I know. I
mean, you're in an airport. You know that thing that you walk through and they make you hold up your hands? Well, what do you think that's there for? What are you doing?
That was the only registered for it in Alabama?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like it's not registered here at all.
It must be impossible to have a gun registered in all 50 states. That's why you can't travel with guns. You get it registered in New York. I mean, wasn't Plaxico's gun registered in Jersey but not in New York?
Right.
Or somewhere.
Yeah.
Or Florida? Or was it registered?
I think it was registered in Jersey, but not in New York.
But the point is, why would you even have an unregistered gun? And why would you think, I guess, just absentmindedly packed it?
I mean, he's 19 years old.
I was having this conversation on Hop this morning. I don't know where he's living here. You know, first of all, Quinnen Williams is a monstrous man. I don't know where, a lot of times guys, when they're in the place where they're from, have nervousness. Because people in the area where they live are aware of who they are, know they have money, and they want to have protection in some way. In New York, though, he's basically unknown. And I just wonder where he's living that he felt he needed a gun for protection. Is he in some house out in the middle of nowhere where he feels like I want to have a gun on me? Because why is he not just living in some doorman building where there's security there all the time?
He has the right to have a gun. I mean, he does have a license for it in Alabama, but the sheer stupidity of bringing it to an airport, what's wrong with you?
Here's the bottom line.
And maybe it was never I don't know.
Would you at least say that what he did was irresponsible?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you want irresponsible people possessing guns?
Well, that's a whole nother story, Don. Let's not even get into that.
Well, Bob, I'm just saying that just got to be responsible. All right? I'm not going to sit here, gun control. I'm not having that conversation. I'm just saying I think we can all agree it's a lot of responsibility to have – a gun, especially at that age.
Is there a test to be responsible?
No, but you know, you just can't, absentmindedly just like leave it where some, you know, kid can grab it and steal it.
He obviously was unaware of where it was.
So I'm just saying you have to be.
I don't think he brought it to the airport intentionally.
No, he just.
He was unaware that it was in the bag, which may be more problematic.
I just think we can all agree wherever you fall on the gun debate is that you have to be responsible. All right. And he was irresponsible. So you have to think about whether this is something that you should have in your possession if you're just going to absentmindedly leave it in your carry-on or in your luggage when you're going to the airport. I mean, that's the thing that would have to bother you. Now, he may get up from this, but the NFL does not need an indictment in order to suspend. So what will the NFL do? Will he be suspended?
I don't think he should be. I don't think you should suspend the guy. First of all, he's 19. He didn't have ammunition, which is key, and I'm glad that Peter played the Rizzomini cut. But it's just dumb. It's just so dumb.
All I'm saying is
airport, that, gun, doesn't go together.
Right. That the NFL does not need you to be prosecuted in order to suspend.
Oh, he's 22. I'm sorry. Andrew told me.
So they can't you can't just go by, well, he'll get away with this with just a fine or whatever. He's okay. The NFL still could discipline him in some way, shape, or form. We'll see if they do.
It's a bummer, and it is thoughtless, and I am confused by it, but hey, it is what it is.
Ryan Hurley, our PD, has a friend who used to work at the Port Authority, for the Port Authority at LaGuardia, and he said it happens every day. People just don't know the rules, and that's it.
The Redskins are going to allow Trent Williams to seek a trade, finally. So one very, very good left tackle is going to be available.
How is he?
Physically?
Yeah.
Fine. I mean, he wasn't out because of injury. He was out because he had this cancer scare misdiagnosed by the Redskins.
Right.
Was disgusted by the doctors, had the surgeries. He's past that. So now you're talking about a literally potential Hall of Fame left tackle who's coming off a year rest. So this is a pretty appealing piece.
I don't think the Redskins will get value for him.
You mean the right value?
Yeah.
No. What do they get for him at this point? A fourth rounder?
A fourth or fifth round pick, I would think.
Isn't that the worst? It is.
It's good for him. Get out of there.
I know. I'm happy for him.
He's got a chance to do something.
I'm happy for him, but it's one of the things that irritates me about football. The drop-off value of players when you trade them, when you know they're good. Trent Williams right now is absolutely worth a second-round pick.
But think about what you said. How often are you trading someone that you know that's good?
But that's what I'm saying. This shouldn't be that situation. This is him getting traded because his organization stinks. His value shouldn't be down. They should still get a nice haul.
But the teams will take advantage of the Redskins because of the situation.
And they have to get rid of him at this point. Steph Curry returned last night. It was a losing effort for the Warriors, but let's check it out. A big moment here from Steph. This is the play-by-play from 95.7, the game in the Bay.
Ball tipped out. Wiggins has it. Bounce pass Curry. Quick release and a splash! And a foul! And he's got a chance for a four-point play.
23.7 assists, 3 from 12 from three-point range, 27 minutes. Not a bad return for Steph.
And I love the uniforms yesterday with San Francisco across the front.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Way better than the Battle of the Repug the other day with the Celtics and the Nets. Not a fan of either of those jerseys. Do you see that? The Nets were wearing their, like, stupid graffiti font ones.
Bed-Stuy.
No, it doesn't say Bed-Stuy. I think it just says
BKLYN.
Yeah, BKLYN. And the Celtics is, like, the off-color Celtics ones. Oh, bleh. Bleh. Makes me sick. You want to talk about the Condor?
Always.
Because tonight at 10:30, Bucks-Lakers, ESPN. By the way, there's also no sport. When you get to this time of year, there's no sport like the NBA when it comes to just like 3-4 times a week. It seems like there's an awesome matchup at this point when you know who the good teams are. LeBron talking about his motivation to be the best ever, not just MVP.
It's never motivated me. Regular season MVP has never motivated me. To be the best to ever play the game has motivated me and has resulted in me being able to be league MVP a couple times. But I've never gone into the season saying, okay, league MVP is what I want to be. I've gone into the season saying, okay, I want to be the MVP of this team. I want to be the best player in the world. And how I approach my game every day, how I take care of my body every day has resulted in things like that.
You know, Mother Nature does get everybody. Father Time. This could be his last chance to even be in the discussion for MVP. I don't think he's going to have a huge drop-off, but I'm just saying at 35, that could be it. This could be his last great season. I hope there are many more, but
I don't know if it will be, but this is – it's true, but he's not going to get it this year.
No.
One little thing, and then we're going to play some interesting audio here. Did you see Schefter's tweet that he posted earlier? Schefter is on the shop this weekend. They actually shot it. They shot it over All-Star. I went to the shooting of the shop. Didn't see anything. Just sat around and drank alcohol.
Wait, the LeBron James thing?
Yeah.
The barbershop?
Yeah.
And
I guess Schefter's already seen it. Mm-hmm. It drops this weekend.
You idiot.
Bad news for the rest of the NFL. Chiefs QB Patrick Mahomes said he didn't learn how to read defenses until halfway through last season. More on Saturday's The Shop, uninterrupted on HBO.
Pretty amazing. To be that great and not read defenses. Just total talent.
So, Tiger Woods, by the way, is going to miss the Players' Championship. He's out with back stiffness. And Aaron Rodgers says he's the Packers' representative in the NFLPA. He is not happy with his teammates' attitude toward the CBA. Let's hear from A-Rodg.
Young guys, you know, it's in the room as player reps and across the league, you know, might just look at us and go, oh, my minimum's going up to this. Yeah, sure, I'll sign that. But again, that's what I think is one of the issues with these negotiations and with society in general is there's not a lot of critical thinking going on. You know, there was a ton of information out there. I sent out a large email and, you know, you email 73 guys. How many responses do you think you're getting back on this, you know, 2,000-word email that goes out? You'd be really disappointed to hear the actual answer, but it's just that's the problem.
I got to tell you. I love that he wrote, like, it's just so him that he is the kind of guy who takes this as seriously as he should. He's one of the leaders of the NFL, and that he wrote a 2,000-word email to his teammates and his disappointment that essentially guys aren't paying attention.
But now, okay, so you could say the young guys aren't educated and they just want the $100,000 raise. But Ryan Fitzpatrick's an Ivy Leaguer, and he released a 2.5-minute video today on Twitter and explain why he was going to vote for it.
And what was his explanation?
He said, you know, we told our reps what we wanted, and they came back with most of the stuff that we wanted. He said, we did. You know, we didn't want a lot of hitting in training camp. We wanted a big bump of minimum wage for the young guys. He said they hit a lot of the things that we wanted them to hit, and we had to give them a 17th game. He said, but also the 17th game is going to raise the amount of revenue that's going to be spread amongst the players. He said, I'm voting yes for this. And this guy read every part of the CBA.
Well, I'm curious to know from Rodgers, too, specifically what he's most upset about, what he finds most deplorable about the CBA.
I would guess probably the 17th game.
Is that the whole thing, though? Because to me, it would be the health care, not being able to get health care.
And that's what Fitzpatrick brought up, too. He said, we asked for improved health care, and this is improved.
He thinks there is an improvement.
Yeah.
But it's not lifetime health care.
Right.
But if you want the big win, what are you willing to do to get it? Are you going to refuse to play? No. You're never going to do that.
You got to take little bits and pieces. You got to chip away at things. And they also didn't want Goodell to have as much power. They took some power away from him in the disciplinary action. As Don said, if you want a home run, you're going to have to sit out a year.
And I don't have access to know all the things they asked for and what they got in return, but it sounds to me from the big thing, they got an improvement on health care, less hitting, $100,000 raise for the minimum, which is significant to, I think, 63% of the league.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty significant. And I think the only thing that the players had to give up was having to play an extra game. It doesn't sound that outrageous. You got to give to get. It's a lot.
That extra game's a big deal.
But you think you were going to get all those things and not give something back in return?
No.
A point and a half of the pie? I mean, there's a lot that they got in return for that 17th game. It stinks that they had to do that. But what's the alternative?
So I saw a tweet this morning. I guess it went up maybe last night or very early this morning. Last night. From Alex Rodriguez.
A-Rod.
Says, we all know that Real Michael Kay is one of the best broadcasters in the business.
No, that's nice.
Turns out he's one heck of an author, too. Let's hear a little bit from A-Rod.
So my good friend Michael Kay wrote this great book called Center State by Michael Kay. If from A-Rod to Jay-Z. And I got to tell you, I did this interview in 2003, and it was outstanding. It was so much fun. I looked like a dope, terrible. I looked so bad. We may do it again. We have a lot to talk about.
Big tease.
Michael Kay is one of the all-time great announcers. When you think about great players, you think about DiMaggio and Willie Mays and Reggie Jackson. When you think about announcers, you think about Jack Buck and Vince Scully and Joe Buck. And now you think about Michael Kay. Michael, congrats. I hope everybody goes out and reads this. Great book.
Very, very generous.
Anything you want to tell us? Because this is interesting information to learn from Alex.
I would like to hug Alex and at the same time strangle him. Because what the book company does, and it's Scribner, is this is a book that has taken the best of the 250 center stage interviews that we've done. We've chosen the best 35.
Okay. None of which are done.
It's fashioned right after Howard Stern's book. There's no denying that that's what inspired me, because I was reading that book during my convalescence from the surgery. And we put this together, and I intro all the interviews and what I think about the interviews. And so Scribner sends it out to people of import or influence, and they ask them if they would write a blurb, the thing at the back. You know, this book is great, blah, blah, blah. And they sent it to Alex. But Alex was supposed to send a blurb back. Instead, he put it out on social media, and they're not ready to announce that there's a book.
When were you supposed to announce the book?
Like in another month. And the book doesn't come out until July 14th. So it's a wonderful thing that he did, so kind, but you really want that kind of message out 2 weeks before it comes out.
So just retweet it.
So people could, you know, I guess buy it early, it's called, or
pre-order
it, because that's what drives
it. So the real headline here is excitement. Come summertime, there's a Michael Kay book.
Yes, I'm very excited about it. It's very cool.
Big news, and also big news, what a drop from Alex, even though the timing was slightly off.
It was very kind of him.
Very.
And is there another center stage booked?
What do you mean?
With Alex.
No, he's one of the interviews.
But he says he wants another one.
No, he wants to do center stage again.
That's what I said. When is it booked?
Oh, booked. It hasn't been booked yet.
Okay. Do you think we can get the author of this book to come on our show and promote it? Because we're great at helping people do that.
I'm going to tell you what. From what I hear, it's going to be insufferable during July.
A lot of promo.
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be a big cover
stack
of the book.
Behind it.
No, big cover of the book.
Is that really what you're going to do?
Like with Howard Stern.
Now, if Alex isn't available for like a full show, he can only give you like a half hour.
Yeah, you'd have to. Thank you.
Got need a full hour.
But I can maybe do the other half hour.
Well, first of all,
let's move on.
The last time Alex was 2003.
That's a long time ago.
Right.
17
so you,
years ago.
You think he could fill an hour of the stuff that's happened in his life in 17 years?
I mean, you could make the case.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, Alex desperately had to go. He had an appointment. Coming up next to Phil in the last 20 minutes, Don LaGreca. And then Don just popped out.
You can't even air the 2003. It's not evergreen.
I've got to ask you guys a question, though.
Sure.
Friends of people that write books, buy the book. Now, you get a free one.
Oh, yeah. No, of course.
You have to buy the book.
Oh, I'm going to buy multiple and give them out as gifts.
Really?
Sure.
Interesting.
Send them to my family.
You better finish up because Andrew's...
That'll do it for ENN on this Friday evening.
Well, hey there.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Good ENN.
I plug your stupid book and you don't even give me a claps.
Thanks. This portion of Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is sponsored by Resorts World Catskills. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more. Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.